Well, it is good to be with you. My wife and I passed through this building a year ago, met with the pastor here and had some coffee together. And so when we came in today, I didn't feel like a visitor. Felt like I'd been here before. Now we're not visitors because we were here first service. So now we're just being like family. I didn't raise my hand, although I could have got another chocolate bar had I done that. Got one anyway for our 42 years of marriage. Sweetheart, stand up and greet the people. This is my wife, Wilma, that just wants you to be able to say hello to her. We have two children, six grandchildren. Life is good. We did pastor for 35 years. I've been traveling for the last 7 or 8 years now, just speaking out the word of the Lord that God has called all of us to serve Him full time. And that we're not just a few of us that get to be the pastor that serve Him full time, but all of us do, because God created you to work. Yeah, just kind of always get a quiet response to that one. There's one conference that I speak at. I do a lot of business conferences, and there's one particular group. It's a very hyper group. I mean, these people get excited about everything. And it's a business group, and I go there occasionally to speak for their business conference, and then they will always say, now on Sunday, we're going to stay in the same conference center and have a church service tomorrow morning, so if you want to stick around, come to church tomorrow. And usually out of that crowd that's there, half of them or more are not believers, so we get a crowd on Sunday morning that are not Christians, but they're hanging around because of this business setting that we've been in. So I was at this meeting. It was in Long Beach, California. They had 10,000 people at their convention. 5,000 English-speaking, 5,000 Spanish-speaking. And on Sunday morning, I had a crowd of about 2,000 people that had stayed over. Of the 5,000, about 2,000 stayed over for a Sunday morning service. Most of them did not go to church normally on Sunday morning. But they were used to this this setting where they encouraged them in their business. So I got up on Sunday morning and I said, folks, I've got good news for you. God wants you to work. They just kind of looked at me. Now, I know this crowd can get excited, so I said, maybe you didn't hear me right. Let me try this again. God wants you to work. And again, I'm getting no response, about like you're giving me right now. Just kind of like no response. So I said, let me rephrase this. God wants you to be rich. And they go, yeah, yeah. And everybody's jumping and shouting. And then I said, and to get there, you got to work. Oh, so see, that kind of settles in. People want prosperity, want rich, I want this. But to get there, you got to work. See, God created you to work. First service this morning, I was talking about a passage in Exodus, and you're going to have to get the tape to listen to that one, because I'm going to do something different today. So you can get two messages today, this one and the one that you go buy somewhere. Do you sell those CDs or tapes? What, is it a tape or a CD? Both. Okay, either way. All right, you make some money on them? Okay, good. So buy the tape, get a little extra money for the church. You're sure you should make money on it. God called us to work. You go to work, you expect to make money, right? Okay, well, never mind. So right now, I want you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. I want to show you where it is that I can show you in the Bible that God called you to work. In fact, His design, His purpose for your life has to do with work, and this is important to get a hold of, because most, I don't know about you New Zealanders, we love it here in New Zealand. We've been a part of the Business Edge retreat this weekend, and I was born out of this church, and I just bless you for that. It was Clarkie and Corley are doing a great job. Such an awesome, awesome weekend with the people of New Zealand who love to work and love to find the purpose of God, and we were having a great time up in Rotorua. It's our second time to be there. Feel like we belong in that group as well. So just, I bless you for what you're doing here. We love it here in New Zealand. But I wonder, are you people like some of the people in America? 80% of Americans are dissatisfied with their work. They don't like their job. Most of the Americans say, I don't like my job, meaning this, I want a better job, I want a job that pays me more money, or ultimately, I want to quit working altogether. I want to earn enough money that I can retire. Do people retire here in New Zealand? Yeah? It's not a biblical concept. Whoops, I'm gone to meddling now. But it's just not there. The Bible doesn't talk about retiring, but it does talk about work. So have you found Genesis chapter 2 in your Bible? starting in verse number 4, it says, "This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day the Lord God made the earth and the heavens." So in chapter 2 already, God says, let me walk you through where we are so far, a history lesson. Verse 5, "Before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground." Now look at this verse 5. No plants, no herbs, no rain, and no man. Now there's a reason for this, and we're going to see the sequence, because God knows that when he puts a plant in the ground that he's created and causes rain to fall upon it, that that plant will begin to blossom and grow. And if the plant begins to grow, there needs to be somebody to take care of it. So God says, before I put a plant in the ground and before I cause the rain to come, I had to do something else, and that was to get us here, to get man on the earth. So he says, no plants, no rain, no man. Then the next verse says, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the earth. So now water has come. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now, we are here. Then verse 8, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Now, watch this. God looked at this earth. He had created beautiful earth, but no plants in it yet. And he couldn't put them there until we were here. Because God put this whole world together so that you and I would cooperate with him. Or in other words, he made this earth so it couldn't work without us. Because we are here as his partners in work. So, put it this way, God created you to work. Yeah, woohoo! Thank you. Thank you for that lovely response. One person gets it. Maybe we could do it this way. God wants you to work. Yeah. All right, good. So, you see, the reality is most of us have had work as a part of the evil side of life. And church as a part of the spiritual side of life. Sunday's my spiritual life. Monday is my secular life. God is a spirit. Those who worship him will worship in spirit and truth. And I like to worship God on Monday as well as Sunday. Amen? Monday is a spiritual day for me. Work is a spiritual... Thank you, sir. I'm going to come over here and preach. Monday is a spiritual experience for me because that, too, is a part of my reason for being. In fact, if you come down to it, why do we come together on Sunday morning? The Bible says that we're here to have somebody equip the saints for the work of ministry, which literally takes place the rest of the week. And today, when I was pastoring, and I did this for 35 years before we started traveling, and then when I was 60, the Lord had me open my own business. I said, Lord, you know how old I am? And he knew. He already knew how old I was. So at 60, we started a business. That was 3 years ago, so I understand a little bit about this, but you know, we got to get the idea that God created us, put us here to work. And we should begin to get excited about it. So you watch this passage here and you say, in this passage, God does the hard work. God causes the rain, God created the earth, God plant all man has to do at the end of verse 5 is the first word for work in the Bible. It says there was no man to till the ground. To till is the word abad in Hebrew, A-B-A-D, and abad means no man to cultivate the ground. No man to get the ground ready for the process of planting and growing and harvesting. No man to till the ground. So until there was man here, God didn't want to put the plants in the ground. But he said as soon as man is here, then there will be somebody there to till the ground or to cultivate. I like that word, cultivate, because you understand it in an agricultural sense, what it means to cultivate. But you see, here God is speaking to all manner of work, not just the farming industry, but whatever your work might be. And God is saying, I put you there to cultivate, literally to turn it over and to get it ready for my presence to come and grow that which I want to come out of it. So if you're working in a agricultural sense, you understand about cultivation. But if you're working in a high-tech industry, you too are there to cultivate, listen to this, the presence of God. Or to make that place ready to receive the move of God because you're there. I have a friend in California who is a young man. We kind of mentored him into marketplace ministry. But he was a young man that had a business. He and a partner had a business that helped startup businesses get going. Now, my wife and I live in San Jose, California. It's called the Silicon Valley. Lots of high tech, lots of startup businesses, lots of stuff going on, especially a few years ago. So his company would go into that place, into a new business, and help them for about 3 months. And they would get their human resource systems in place and hire their people and interview. And then after 3 months, they'd leave and go to another company. So he said he went into one company. At the end of 3 months, he said, they asked us to stay another 3 months. And we said, yeah, okay, we'll do that. We could be done, but we could work 3 more months. So he said, we did it. They paid us a lot of money. At the end of 6 months, would you stay another 3 months? He said, you don't really need us. No, I want you to. So we said, we stayed 9 months. We stayed 12 months. Ended up staying 15 months with 3 month contracts. And he said, we were really done after three. So we stayed an extra year. Finally, he says, I said to the president of that company, I said, why do you still have us here? And the man said, Trent, all I can say is it feels better when you're here. He brought a presence of God into that place that was felt. You could feel the presence. Because Trent was a man of prayer. He was praying before he went to work. He was asking God to shine through him. And the reality was, he wasn't preaching. He was just being God's ambassador in that place and cultivating, if you please, the atmosphere to receive what God wanted to plant there. That's why you're at work. You say, but Rich, where I work, they're evil, wicked, mean, bad, and nasty. And I say, that's why you're there. You're there to make a difference, see? See, you're there to plant a new plant there and to watch it grow. And it's called the presence of God. To change the atmosphere. How do you change the atmosphere at work? Well, you ask God to use you to bring his presence in, and so that when people get close to you, they get close to God. And it changes the atmosphere. So the reason why we are created, according to this verse, the reason why we're here is to till the ground. Now, I know that here in this city and this area particularly, farming is a big industry. How many of you are in some way connected with agricultural farming? Just raise your hand. Oh, hallelujah. Usually I go around cities in the United States and they haven't even heard of a farm. So it's good to know that I'm in. This is where God started it all. When he formed man and put him on the earth, Adam and Eve and their children, they either took care of the ground or took care of the animals. That was it. It was a farming industry. So when you read this word, no man to till the ground, I want you to think with me right now that wherever you work is your ground. Can you make a little switch here and see the word ground to mean provision, your source of income, your source of provision. Are you with me here? I'm just asking you to put yourself in the text. So if you're in an agricultural or farming setting, your ground, you'll understand it. But if you don't happen to be in that, if you're in plumbing or carpentry or selling automobiles or insurance, whatever it is, that would be your ground. Are you with me? So God wants you to cultivate the ground so that you can cooperate with him to bring his presence on the earth. And so down in verse 15, I'm still in Genesis 2, in verse 15, it says, then God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it. That's that same word as in verse 5, to tend it, to abad, cultivate it. And secondly, to keep it. It's the Hebrew word shamar, S-H-A-M-A-R, and it means to put a watch or to be a watchman. Watch this. There's two reasons why God calls you to work. Number one, to cultivate a place for his presence. Secondly, to be a watchman, to watch out for the enemies that might come against that workplace and stop them in your intercessory prayer, or to see the future and the changes that might come in your industry so that you're a step ahead of the competition, because God can give you insight about coming trends. You see what I'm saying? So God put you there, number one, to cultivate his presence, and secondly, to be a watchman. Now, some of you are saying, but Rich, I thought I was created to worship, not to work. You ever heard that phrase? I was created to worship? Here's the interesting thing. The word abad, which is translated to work, is also a root of the word avodah, A-V-O-D-A-H, which is sometimes translated work and sometimes translated worship. Same word in the Old Testament, same word, depending on its context, translated work or worship. Here's what that means. When you go to work, that is a form of worship. You see, we say, how do you worship God? Well, you sing. Yeah, that's worship. Well, you pray. Yeah, that's worship. Well, you study the Bible. That's worship. Well, you give into the offering. Yeah, that's worship. But when I go to work, that also is worship, because when I go to work, I am saying to God, you created me for this, and I'm going to fulfill my life purpose, and work becomes an act of worship. Wow. When I go to work, it is not just I've got to earn money to pay the rent and to buy some food, but I'm going as an act of worship to my God who created me to work. Now, at that point, some of you are going to just get a whole new mindset about work. When you go there tomorrow, it's no longer just, hey, I've got to go to work, but it's, wow, I get to go to work. I'm going to my place of worship. Which means worship for me now becomes not just a Sunday thing, but a 7-day-a-week thing. It's something I do every day. I worship maybe differently on Sunday than on Monday, but my worship. Genesis 2 is so awesome. I mean, here in Genesis 2, it's life as God created it to be. He's doing the hard work. I'm cooperating with him. I'm fulfilling my purpose and working. But in Genesis 2, agriculture was easy. Farming was easy. There were no weeds. There was no drought. There were no bad seasons. In Genesis 2, it was awesome. Genesis 3, let me give you a theological insight. Genesis 3 follows Genesis 2. Yeah. Yeah, it really does. Man, is that insight? Because if you think about Genesis 3, that's where, you know what happened in Genesis 3? That's where Adam and Eve fell into sin. And everything changed. Now watch this, verse 17, Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, middle of the verse. Cursed is the ground for your sake. Now what's the ground? The ground was their work. There's no man to till the ground. The ground was where they got their provision. The ground, I ask you to all think, ground is now wherever I work. So ground is not just as I'm a farmer where I plant my crops or as a farmer where I raise my cattle or sheep, but ground is where I receive my provision. The business I own or I work for or that I want to work for, whatever it might be, that's my provision. Watch what happened when Adam and Eve sinned. God did not curse Adam and Eve. It says he cursed the ground. Suddenly, that which was their work has a curse on it. And interestingly, it says, I cursed it for your sake. Now, that could mean because of you, because of what you did, I cursed it. But it could also mean this, I cursed it so that you would learn something from it. And I think the for your sake might mean this. I had to curse your ground because you believe that you can make it on your own and you can't. I had to curse your ground because you think you don't need me, but you do. I had to curse your ground because you've been trying to go your way without me in your life. This is God speaking. And therefore, I have to curse your ground because otherwise you're going to remove me from your life. So I'm showing you that you can't make it without me. I cursed the ground. And then he says this, in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Before Genesis 3, there was no such thing as toil, which to me means stress or pressure or that kind of work that goes beyond the joy. And it says, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat your bread. So suddenly everything changes here in Genesis 3. It was God and man in cooperation, Genesis 2. All the crops came in at the expected or even higher yield. But suddenly, everything changes. When I see the word toil, I think of pressure. I think of stress. I think of heart attacks. I think of high blood pressure. I think of high cholesterol. I think of depression. I think of antidepressant drugs. I think of all. Is this a part of life here in New Zealand? It's all, and usually it's related to work somewhere or another. We didn't get enough money, or we worked too hard, or we put all of our own, whatever it might be, that somehow or another our work and the stress on our life seem to be connected together. And it didn't used to be that way. See, it was never that way in Genesis 2. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could live in Genesis 2? Wouldn't it be awesome? I believe it's God's plan. Because you see, everything we read about the curse is what Jesus died to take care of. See, when you think, in Galatians chapter 3, it says that Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, became a curse and paid the price so that the curse that was on us would be taken off. Amen? And yet, usually, when we teach that, we teach it with a single message in mind. We usually teach it to mean Jesus died so that you could have your relationship to God restored and you could go to heaven. That's the way we usually teach it, which that's included there. Amen? But also, what else we lost at the sin was that the curse came upon our source of provision. And when we understand that, we can apply the blood of Jesus to our work in the same way we apply the blood of Jesus to our life when we get saved or when we lead a friend to Christ. You follow me on this? See, the Bible says in Luke 19:10, you could finish this quote for me. Jesus was speaking. He said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." So you quoted that the way the Bible says it. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save. This is Jesus speaking. Zacchaeus just got saved. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Quite honestly, folks, we usually teach it this way. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save those that were lost. And so we say, Jesus died for your sins. You can receive him and become a Christian. That's all true. It's all a part of it. You know, I gave you a deep theological insight a minute ago. Genesis 3 follows Genesis 2. Let me give you another one. That which was lost includes those. But those would not include that. You follow me on this? See, if we just think that Jesus died to save us from our sins, that's true, but it's incomplete. But if we think when Jesus died, he died to restore everything, including my relationship to God, and including my ground or provision, or to get back to a stress-free life. Oh, hallelujah. No more pressure, no more thorns and thistles, no more weeds growing, no more drought years. To return to the place where God is the hard worker and I cooperate with him, that too is a part of the atonement of Jesus Christ. Wow. You could take it a step further, and I won't teach this, but you could take it a step further and even say that pain in childbirth is dealt with in the atonement. I mean, okay, ladies, you with me? I'm going to have a lady teach this to you later. There is a book on that topic called Supernatural Childbirth about how to apply the atonement during your pregnancy to have a pain-free childbirth. Hallelujah. Some of you wish you'd have known that years ago. I'm not going to teach that one, but I'm going to teach this one. The curse is on your ground. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had a plan? This could be a plan for a business or a project in your business. And you said, you know what, if all works out, if everything comes up, it's going to, this is going to happen. I'm going to receive at the end this kind of harvest or this amount of money. Have you ever had a plan like that? Did it always go exactly like you wanted? No. Because we're still living, many of us, under toil and stress and thorns and thistles and sweat. I love to work. I think God created us to work, but I don't think God wanted us to work so hard that we end up totally exhausted, worn out, and stressed out at the end of the day. I think he wants work to remain a joyous thing, and yet many of us are proud of the fact that we are hard workers and I earned everything by the sweat of my brow. And I want to say, congratulations, you did it all under the curse. How much easier it might have been to have had the curse taken off so you could work, but God does the hard work and you just... You see the difference with what I'm saying here? Let me show it to you in the New Testament. Go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. This is a great passage. I've taught it many times, but only in recent years have I seen it a little bit differently than I had in the past. Because I'm going to start in verse 19 of Romans chapter 8. Whenever I used to teach this, it was some future event that was God was going to do something out there somewhere, someday, sometime, future. And that when God did it, it was going to be this corporate thing. The whole world is going to be redeemed and all the earth's resources are going to come back and all the trees and everything is going to be all restored. But now, I'm seeing this as a today verse, not future, but now, and not as a corporate verse, but as an individual verse. Now, if you want to teach it the other way and understand it that way, please go right ahead, but do it after 12:30 today. Just stay with me for a few minutes and let God speak to you as if Romans chapter 8 were something to happen to you right now. Amen? And that it wasn't something for just the whole world, but something for me individually. So that now I'm going to ask you to take another stretch. You've already seen ground as your provision. You're with me on that. I want you to say, think now that your ground or that place where your money is going to come from, your provision, is also your purpose for living because God created you to work. So your ground becomes purpose. So when you see the word in this text, creation, instead of thinking of the created world, I want you to think of your created purpose. Why did God make me? Why am I here? Amen? Okay, so think about that as we read Romans chapter 8, verse 19. It says, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." Let me put it to you this way, that there is out here in the invisible realm, something called destiny or purpose over your life. God created you for a specific purpose, and your purpose is here this morning. Are you still with me on this? Do you believe in the things you cannot see? You believe in, how many of you believe in angels? Yeah. How many of you have seen an angel? Yeah, four or five of you. Okay. How many of you believe in demons? Huh? How many of you have seen a demon? Again, four or five of you, and oftentimes the same four or five that also see angels. Some people see these angelic or demonic beings. I don't, but I know they're here. I believe in them. So I want to say to you in the same way that angels are here right now, thank God for the angelic presence, also here in kind of the atmosphere is my reason for being. It's up here an entity called destiny or purpose. And I read this passage here, for the earnest expectation, that's an excitement believing something is going to happen, that your created purpose is getting excited right now because your purpose is saying, I've been held back by the enemy, but today the blood of Christ is going to defeat the enemy, and this is your purpose speaking, I'm going to move in and we are going to have a life of joy. See, that's what I see here, earnest expectation. Sometimes the expectation of the event is as exciting as the event itself. My wife and I have six grandchildren. When I say to the grandchildren, let's go for ice cream, the event starts long before we get to the ice cream store. It's the expectation. When they begin talking, what kind are you going to have? I think I'll have chocolate. Well, I may have strawberry. Oh, I'm going to have strawberry. And they go on with this earnest expectation. That's what I think is happening up here in the heavenly realms right now over you. Your destiny is speaking to somebody else's destiny. Hey, you know what's going to happen? Yeah, oh boy, they're about to get it. Oh, tomorrow is going to be. See, tomorrow is going to be so much fun when we go to work and we've got destiny on us. That's what I see happening here. So Romans 8:19, the earnest expectation of the creations, waiting for the revealing, literally the revelation to come to the sons of God. Verse 20, for the creation, this is your created purpose, was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him, capital H-I-M, Him, God, who subjected it in hope. Now, I asked you a minute ago, did your business plans always work out? You said no. And you might have blamed the devil. But here it says that God sometimes subjects your created purpose to futility. In other words, again, it's this thing that if you do it on your own, God says, I'm going to have to stop you because we can't allow you to make it without the help of God. Now, a lot of people are doing that, making it without the help of God, but we can't do that. We dare not try to make our way without the help of God. So sometimes God Himself subjects your purpose to emptiness. Verse 21. Because the creation itself will also be delivered from bondage, the bondage of corruption, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The same way you got set free when you got saved. Amen? It may get set free from something. The same way you got set free when you got saved, God says, I can set your business free right now. I believe that if we can learn how to bring the atonement of Christ to play on our businesses, that we can have freedom from bondage in our business life. Well, how do you do that? Well, if your best friend comes to you and says, I want you to lead me to Christ, would you know how to do that? Would you know how to, your friend comes to you and says, I'm ready to receive Christ. Would you know how to do that? You'd do something. You would, in some way or another, you would say, and I don't know exactly what you would say, but in some way or another, you would say, Jesus died for your sins. He did something for you that no one else could do and something that you cannot do for yourself. And in order for that atoning power of Jesus to work in your life, you need to personally receive Him. I can't do it for you. You have to do it yourself. Now, somewhere down the line, you do something like that. Then you might read some scripture to them and show it from the Bible. You might pray for them. You might lead them in a certain prayer. But you would do something to get the person to the place where they would personally receive Jesus. Amen? See, whatever your theological position is, whatever else you do, the way we get saved is we connect up with what God did on the cross through His Son, and we personally make a choice. I can't do it for you, can't do it for my kids, can't do it for my grandkids, can't do it for anybody, but I can do it for myself so I can help you to do it for yourself. You're with me on this. The same way I believe on your business. It is not simply that because Christ died, therefore there will be no curse on my business. I need to allow the blood of Jesus to personally be applied to my work so that it too can get set free the way I did. So what I'm going to encourage you to do is to go to your place of business, your ground, if you please, your source of provision, and speak over it the atonement of Jesus Christ, that Jesus broke the curse off your business so that it could become all that God wants it to be. Amazing things happen. In Guatemala, a nation down in Central America, there's a little town down there called Almolonga, where some way or another, God came in and changed the ground, and so the water started coming up on some Christians' ground where they were growing vegetables, and suddenly those vegetables grew to a much larger size than their neighbors. God supernaturally changed the ground. Have you seen the George Otis transformation video? Has that been around? That city of Almolonga, I've been there. I've watched the women coming to market carrying these huge baskets of vegetables. And I've seen them irrigating their land because suddenly water started coming out of the ground. That water that had something in it that caused those vegetables to grow at a supernatural rate. God changed the ground. I believe God could do that for you as well. But in order to have it happen, we need to apply the blood of Jesus to our business in the same way you would to your friend, okay? So I want you to think with me right now. We're going to practice something. I'm going to ask you to do it later in person, but right now we're going to practice this morning praying over your business. Now, some of you own your own business. Raise your hand if you're a business owner, okay? All right, we've got a lot of business owners here. But so you're going to pray one way. How many of you have a job? You work somewhere? All right, so the rest of you who don't own your business, you still work somewhere. I want you to think the business I own or the business I work for, and if you're out of work completely, I won't make you put your hand up, but if you don't have a job and need a job, the business that you want to work for or the job that you want to have, I want you to pray over that now, because you have the power through the blood of Jesus to break the curse off of your source of provision. So see, if I own the business, I can do this for my business. If I don't own it, I still can pray a blessing up to the owner because I'm working there. That's where I get paid from, so that God can give me the blessing of breaking the curse. All right, so I want you to think about it like this. I want you to pray over your business or your job, whatever way you want to put it, your job or your business. I want you to pray over it like as if you were leading your best friend to Christ. I want you to explain to your business that Jesus died to break the curse and that how it used to be and how it can be and how different it is without Christ and how different it can be with Christ. And I want you to explain this to your business. You say, does this make sense? Well, I don't know, except that I know it works. I've prayed this over businesses and I've watched them change like this. I've seen it happen. So I had a young man come to me and say, Rich, after I prayed that prayer and broke the curse off my business, I earned more money in the next 4 months than I had in the 15 years before that. I said, wow, what a coincidence. He says, no, God did something. He changed the whole business atmosphere. Suddenly, everything I try to sell, people are buying. Because God changed it and took the curse off. But you got to believe it, see? When you get saved, you got to believe Jesus died for your sins to receive you. You can't just pray a prayer, you don't believe it. And so you got to believe it for your business. Are you all with me right now? So I want you to stand up and practice. Just stand up where you are. And I want you to just picture your business right down at your feet so you're kind of standing in your ground right now. This is your ground. And by the way, if you're in school, just pray over your school. And if you're in government, pray over your city. If you're an educator or if you're a public servant, a fireman, a policeman, then just get the anointing of God right there. If you're a pastor, then break it off of your church. Hallelujah, so that there's no more curse on the church. Let's just get it all going right now. Now, I want you to just, in your own mind, look down at your ground and begin to just speak to it, something like this. Business, I want to speak to you right now that Jesus loved you enough to break the curse off of you, and yet the devil's trying to mess with everything we're doing, so he's cursed it, but Jesus paid the price, and right now I break the curse by releasing the blood of Jesus on you so that you can bring forth all that God wants you to bring forth, that you will be blessed every day, business, that you will be blessed from the inside and the outside, that you'll be blessed in prosperity, that you'll be blessed in peace, that you'll be blessed in purpose, that everybody that comes here will feel the touch of God. You see what I'm trying to say? I want you to do that right now. So just your own words, just begin to pray out loud or quiet, doesn't matter to me. Just begin to speak over it right now. You're leading your business under the blood of Jesus to get the curse broken right now. Amen? So that nothing can go wrong, that only the power of God can be there. Just begin to pray it right now. Speak it over, speak it out. Shake your fist at it, point your finger, wave your arm, whatever you need to do to get yourself where you're going to really feel the presence of God there. We're breaking the curse right now. The curse that came when Adam and Eve sinned, the curse that was broken when Jesus went to the cross, but the curse that needs for us to apply the blood directly to it so that we can walk in all the harmony and the freedom of what Jesus has done for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Business, I want you to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I want everybody that comes into this business to feel the presence of God. I want all the blessings, Lord, that you want to be released to this business to be released. We break the curse of the enemy that would hold back resources, that would hold back relationships, that would hold back purpose. We break the curse over this business that would cause people to walk without peace, that would cause people to walk in stress. We break that curse so that everyone who works here will be depression-free, stress-free, healthy people. No high cholesterol, no high blood pressure, no heart attacks in this place, no stress, because we believe that by the blood of Jesus, that curse is broken, and we apply the blood now to our business. Amen. Hallelujah. Give a shout to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing on our businesses right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, now we were just practicing. Because I'd like for you to do this in person. I'd like for you to go to your place of work and just pray that same kind of prayer there. Now, if you own the business, you can go in, you can unlock the doors and go in at night and do that. If you're just working for somebody else, you go in there and you just make sure, you know, as you're walking in, hallelujah, just breaking the curse off this place, you're just kind of walking in there and letting the presence of God flow out. Some of you are going to go to your place of work. Some of you are going to want to do it today. Probably you're going to want to go this afternoon or tonight. And some of you will make sure there's nobody around. You'll look behind you and make sure the lights are off. Nobody sees you. You'll go in very quietly with the door closed. You'll whisper, business, be redeemed. Hallelujah. Others of you will call all of your friends. You'll get the worship team to come with you. You'll crank up the music. You'll say, business, be redeemed in the name of Jesus. But let me just say this. It's not the loud or the soft. It's your faith that will release the power. You could shout without faith. You could whisper with faith and have more power. So I don't care if you shout or if you don't. I just want you to walk in there with faith. I'd like for you to do that, to walk into your business and to just release the blood of Jesus to break the curse off your business so that you can walk in all the freedom that God has intended for you as His servant. He called you to work. He made you a worker. He wants your work to be a blessing, to be a blessing to you, to be a blessing to the community, to be a blessing to New Zealand. And you are the ones who can do it. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, are you ready? You're ready to work as unto the Lord. Work that curse-free life. So lead your business to the Lord. Somebody says, does that mean you're getting your business saved? I said, if you want to put it that way, it's redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. One girl came to me and said, Rich, I work for the church. How do I get the church redeemed? I said, well, if there's a curse on it, get it redeemed. Because, you know, most churches, I don't know, Nick, if that's true here, but most churches that I know of don't have quite enough. They don't have enough resource. They don't have enough money. They don't have enough to do what they want to do. And a part of the reason is because the curse has been activated in the church amongst its members. And so that we're not flowing in all the abundance that God wants us to have. So it's not coming into the church. So the curse is also on the church. And it gets broken off me. It'll get broken off the church. Because guess what? This building's not the church I am. We are. So when the curse gets broken off of me and my business, it gets broken off the church. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. So we're right now, I want to pray for those of you. I want to pray for two groups right now. I want to pray, first of all, for a group of you who know that God is calling you to start a new business. That there's some of you right now, and then in a minute I'm going to pray for another group. But right now, I think there's some in this room that God is calling you to start a business. You haven't started it yet. You've been dreaming about it, thinking about it, planning it. I want to pray for you today that you could plant a curse-free business. Just start it right. So those of you that you're thinking about starting a business, just come on down here and stand in the front. Let me just pray for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Even if this thing hasn't taken form yet, you don't know what it's going to look like. You're not even fully aware of where it's going to go, but you know God is speaking to you. Come on down. Let me just release a blessing on this. You know, the opposite of a curse is a bless. Amen? So if the devil curses, God wants to bless. So let's get these things blessed as we're starting off here. Hallelujah. Yeah, come on down here. It's all right. I'm not going to do anything weird. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Anybody else? Been waking up in the middle of the night, knowing you got to do something? Seems bigger than you. God is talking to you about it. Father, I release an anointing right now on these who are starting a business. I release a blessing right now. Yeah, come on down here. The kind of blessing that can break the curse. Thank you, Lord. 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 You know, when I started learning Spanish several years ago, the word for bless is on the root word decir, to speak. Bien decir means to speak good words. And the word for curse is the word maldecir, to speak bad words. Malo is bad. Decir is to speak. So when you see the word curse, it means to speak bad words. When you hear the word bless, it means to speak good words. We're speaking good words over your plans right now. We're speaking prosperity and success and harmony and peace. And we're speaking blessing to your spirit. I'm speaking blessing to your soul. I'm speaking blessing to your mind. I'm speaking blessing to your body. I'm speaking blessing to your heart. I'm speaking blessing to your creativity. I'm speaking blessing to the location. I'm speaking blessings over the plans. I'm speaking blessings over the staff. I'm speaking blessings right now over your mind, that it would flow with the mind of God. I'm speaking blessings over your timing so that you'll know the right timing. I'm speaking blessings over your startup capital, whether that's money or resources of another kind that you need to have. We're blessing these businesses right now that are being planted in this city, planted in this nation, with the purpose of bringing the power and the blessing of God back. Hallelujah. Some of you who are business owners, just come down. You've been here. Some of you are business owners, just lay your hand on these. Even some of you already a business owner and you're going to start another one, you can lay hands on yourself. But some of you who are business owners, just come down here and just release them. Hey, I did this. I've been there. I'm going to release it upon you right now. I release to you what I had to walk through when we started our business. We want to release that to you, that you could start up faster and quicker and easier than we did, because you're going to walk with the blessing from the very, very beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, Penny and Terry, just come on down. Slip clear down here, right? Come on right around here. Come in here. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. All right. Now just speak peace. Just speak blessings. Just speak the release of all of God's creative purposes. Lord, we thank you that we're going to see some businesses that start off right, that start off blessed from day one, that don't fight through some of the stuff that we've had to fight through at the other end. And Lord, we thank you for the change that can come to this city because of what you're doing here right now. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pastor, just make sure you get your hands on each of these people. Just lay your hands on them. Thank you, Lord. Just releasing the blessing which breaks the curse. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the release today that is going to bring power. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I'm picturing right now the smoothest business startups that we've seen. That everything just happens the way it would in Genesis 2, with God doing the hard work. And we're coming along, just cooperating with him. Amen. Amen. What do we got? About a dozen businesses down here that are going to start up. Hallelujah. Oh, I'll tell you what, Pastor, this is going to bring some blessing to the church and the city. Hallelujah. All right. Y'all feel okay? You feel okay? Let me tell you something. Whether you feel it or not, it's your faith to believe it that makes a difference right now. So you can say, I didn't feel anything. Or you can say, I believe it. I believe it. If I believe it, I can start feeling it. I can start experiencing when I believe it. But if I don't believe it, I may not feel it. But if I believe it, it doesn't matter if I feel it or not. I know in my spirit what God has done. I know that I'm starting right now, by faith, a curse-free business from day one. Amen? Woo! Hallelujah. Man, I can't wait to see what happens here. Hope I get to come back and see some of this in 6 months, 9 months, a year from now. Watch what God has done. Wow. Hallelujah. All right. Now I want to pray for all of you who would like to have the curse off of your life and off your business, off your job. Just come on down, join these people. Let's just get a crowd down here if you want. If you just want to make sure, we're going to establish a little bit of what we did a minute ago and what I hope you'll go establish in person. But let's just get the presence of God to land on you right now. So if you own a business, come on down. Let's get the curse off. If you got a job, come on down. Let's get the curse off. If you want a job, let's get you a curse-free job. Just come on, scoot up here real close. Come right up here to the steps. Just move right up real close. Just come on up here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hey, you know, while everybody's coming down, those of you that are going to start a business, I want you to speak out to somebody around you what that business is. You got to get it out there in the atmosphere. So those of you that are down here, you're going to start a business, just turn around to somebody and say, hey, this is what I got in mind. This is what God's been telling me. Just turn around and whisper to them right now. Just tell them what it is. Speak it out. You got to get it out in the atmosphere. You got to say, yep, this is what I'm going to do. This is what God's been speaking to me. Come on, just share it out there. Thank you, Lord. Get in the atmosphere. Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to pray for you today. And as soon as you start feeling the manifestation of the curse being broken, I want you to start testifying to your friends of what God has done. Start testifying. Call pastor and tell him. Call one of your friends and tell him. Just say, hey, you know, we prayed at church. I went to work. I did this. And here's what happened. Just start testifying. Because as you testify, it's going to encourage the others. So start that testimony going. Amen? So, Father, right now, we're speaking over the city of Hamilton. We're speaking over the businesses that are represented here in this particular congregation. And we're speaking right now the power of the blood of Jesus to break the curse off every business that is represented here, every job that is represented here. And we declare today by the power of the living God, the anointing of the Lord comes for a new sense of freedom, a new sense of flow, a new sense of provision, a new sense of peace in my business life. Thank you, Lord. Now lift your hands. Lift your hands up to the Lord. I'm going to ask the Lord to give you an anointing right now. Father, I ask that you, Lord God, would touch these hands that are lifted right now. Lord, touch the hands that are lifted. Let your anointing fall, Lord, right now. Let your power fall right now. So, Lord, if I were to reach out and touch a hand, it could be felt. Lord, I ask you to touch these hands in a way that it can be felt. Lord, I ask you to reach out by your hands right now and touch these hands, Lord, and so that you can receive right now what the Lord is giving you. Lord, anoint these hands. You said in your word, you bless the work of our hands. You said that when we tithe, you bless the work of our hands. You said when we give to the poor, you bless the work of our hands. Lord, I'm asking you to bless the work of our hands right now. Touch these hands. Whatever our hand lays to do, Lord, let it be blessed by you, touched by you, and anointed by you. And now as your hands are blessed, I want you to anoint yourself with the anointing of the Lord. Just lay your hand on your forehead, lay your hand on your chest, and receive what God has been speaking to you. This is the Lord touching your hands and you releasing that into your life right now. So receive your anointing. Receive the anointing of the Lord right now. Receive the blessing of the Lord. And right now, speak blessings over your life. Speak blessings over your business. So instead of just saying the curse is broken, say, business, I bless you with. And speak to your job. Lord, I bless this job with promotion. I bless this job with prosperity. Lord, I speak over my business. I bless this business with new customers. I bless this business with a decrease in expenses and an increase in income. I speak over this business right now, Lord, that there will be no injuries on the job, that there will be no malfunctions of machinery, that every crop that I plant will bring forth at a greater yield than I had expected, and a greater yield even than others have because of the blessings of God. I speak blessings right now. Hallelujah. Receiving your blessing. Receiving a curse-free work life. We're stepping. Usually we always want to step forward. Today we're stepping back. We're going from Genesis 3 back to Genesis 2. Living under that freedom of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the release, Lord, right now. I thank you for the release, Lord, right now. I thank you, Lord, for the I thank you for the prosperity that's coming now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you are pouring out blessings right now that cannot be contained. Thank you, Lord, that there is more anointing here than we could possibly handle on our own. So we release it now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Receive your blessing now. Receive your blessing now. All right, turn to somebody just to testify for a minute. Here's what I'm expecting. I know God's going to do something this week. Just testify at each other for a minute. I'm looking for, this is what I'm looking for, new product, new customer, a greater return. I'm looking for peace at work. Just turn to somebody, just a little bit of testimony. This is what I'm looking for. Tell your wife, tell your husband. Come on, speak it out in the atmosphere. Tell somebody you don't know. It doesn't matter. Let's just get our faith activated here, because the Bible says that we gotta speak it out. That we gotta hear it, but we gotta speak it. So you gotta speak it out right now. Speak out what you're looking at, what you're believing for, what your blessing is gonna be. Speak it out. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm calling in provision. I'm calling my debts paid off. I'm calling in 10 new customers, 100 new customers, a new product. I'm calling in a greater harvest. Thank you, Lord. I'm calling in an increase. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, put your blessing on the dairy business in this area right now. Put your blessing on the agricultural business right now. On the crops and the land and the animals. Put your blessing, Lord. Put your blessing on the businesses, the retail businesses of this city. Put your blessing on the service businesses right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.